Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome to another show of Chris Talks Games. As always, my name is Chris, and I will talk about some games with you. So yeah, last episode we had the gaming crossovers that didn't go right, or gaming crossovers that fell flat, or failed, or however you want to say it. But this time we're going to be looking on the flip side and talk about some gaming crossovers which do work pretty well. Yeah, some game crossovers done right, pretty much. First up, we are going to start with the news. Okay, so first bit of news is concerning a game which started off as a Nintendo Switch exclusive. It's a Nintendo Switch exclusive which has moved to another console. And abundant surprise for you people as well. Yeah, Octopath Traveler, the RPG from Square Enix. It came exclusive to Switch. Did then move across to PC, but it is now out on the Xbox. Series S and X are definitely, I think, Series Xbox One possibly as well. It's come across and it is available on the Game Pass. So Microsoft have opened up the checkbook and paid Square a hefty bit of money to secure that as a Game Pass game. So it's interesting to see it go to Xbox. I think a lot of people were expecting if it did go elsewhere, it might go to PlayStation. But it did have like a good year and a half or so exclusivity on the Switch. So it sold really well on the Switch. A lot of people are really really impressed with the game and how it's performed, so to see it go more and get potentially more players, especially being on Game Pass, is only a good thing. I have to confess, I haven't actually played the game. I've played the demo that they first released and did the feedback on. I really did enjoy that, so I have actually got it downloading as we speak on Xbox, so I will be diving into that at some point and having some fun with that. It's good to see Octopath Traveler getting a new audience, and Microsoft have always said they want to do more with the Japanese market and JRPGs and stuff like that, so it's good to see them actually getting involved with Square and working it so that they can get, again, like Octopath Traveler across. Next up, Battle in Wonderworld can't seem to get a break at the moment. The demo was pretty ropey and a lot of people were really concerned about how the game would be. And they did address this recently. They did say they are working on patches to include, like, improve things and make it play better and smoother. There is a day one patch which is looking at a lot of stuff. But it did make the headline today on its launch, because on the time of recording it's launch day, 26th of March. Made the headlines for not some great reasons. I know video gaming and stuff like that, epilepsy is always a risk, but it has actually come up as a warning that the final boss in the game could actually cause people to have seizures. There's a lot of flashing lights and things like that. It's come up that they think that the final boss could cause people to have seizures if they're sensitive to flashing lights. It's something that games have had issues with, although Cyberpunk had an issue with flashing lighting as well, and they end up having to patch it out. There are some reports that Day One patch will address this issue, and take out the strobe effects on the final boss, or mute them, or make them more suitable. But yeah, something to be aware of with Balan Wonderworld if you are looking to play it and do suffer from epilepsy. Just be cautious if you get to the final boss, because if it hasn't been fixed, it could be potential risky business. Yeah, Balan Wonderworld currently doesn't have a Metacritic score. I know it came out today. I think they didn't lift the review embargo. I don't know if they have yet. So yeah, it's no reviews or no Metacritic review scores available yet. Yeah, I think it could be a bit of a shame. I don't think it's going to be as good as I was perhaps hoping it would be. I am keeping an eye on it, and if it does end up coming to Game Pass, I probably will. Actually, I know I will definitely give it a chance or give it a playthrough on Game Pass. So yeah, I think it's a lot of seeing what happens now. Next up, Sony has unveiled the controllers for the PSVR 2, well, the next PlayStation VR. No news on the headset or when we'd like to see that. But the controllers are a massive step away from what they've been doing with the PlayStation VR on the PS4. The PSVR used the PlayStation Move controllers, which work well enough, but the new PSVR controllers are very much more in line with what you see with other VR headsets. So those ones you hold almost like the joystick, where you kind of have your palm wrapped around a central kind of pole. And you got it's got some buttons and analog sticks on the top. It's got some kind of LEDs. It's kind of like a orb shape almost, you put your hand in the middle of. But it's not solid, it's like swirls and shapes. But basically it's got some LEDs on it, so the headset can track what your hands are doing and the angle your hands are at. So it looks like it'd be quite a sophisticated and clever bit of kit. It's interesting they're showing off the controllers now. Well, that means that there's going to be more news on the new PSVR stuff soon. I'm not sure. A lot of people aren't expecting to see it before 2022, or at least in terms of available. Whether we see the headset this year or not is going to be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how they change the aesthetic for it as well. Given how much they've changed the controllers, if they will make a massive change to how the headset looks and works. I know they have taken on board the complexity or pain in the arseness of setting up the headset, so they are looking to simplify how it connects to the system, which is good. There is some stuff built into the PS5, which means the PS5 itself can handle some of the stuff that the extra additional box and cable and the first PSVR did. So yeah, it will be interesting to see exactly what they do with the new PlayStation VR and when they show that off. Yeah, the controls are looking good, and definitely a step away from what the last iteration of the PSVR controllers were. On to the last bit of news now. As I say, the day of recording is March 26th, so Monster Hunter Rise launched the Nintendo Switch. And to be fair, I think this is going to be a pretty big game for the Switch this year. Especially in Japan, apparently pre-orders are going crazy over there. Could easily be one of the Switch's biggest game launches in Japan, I think. And there is a lot of hype online about it. A lot of people were excited about it. A lot of people were keen to give it a go. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how well Monster Hunter Rise does when it launches. There is, of course, the limited edition Switch that came out today as well with Monster Hunter decals and includes the digital version of the game. So yeah, it'll be really exciting to see how it does. Because I'm not a massive Monster Hunter person. I've not really got into the games that much. It'll be interesting to see just how it shapes up and how it goes. But yeah, that wraps up our news for this episode. So now on to the main topic. Okay, guys, so pretty much counter to last episode's subject. Last episode was game crossovers that didn't work, and now we are looking at the game crossovers done right, ones which are pretty successful and just work pretty well. Got a few games to talk about. There are a few games that have really worked out quite, or games or game series that have worked out quite well. Without further ado, let's get stuck in. When you're talking about gaming crossovers, I think you can't not mention the Super Smash Bros. Series. It is an incredible success story on the Switch, especially with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And each iteration in the series adds more characters or more features. And they're always working to improve the balance and improve how it plays. So it's a game that a lot of work and a lot of effort goes into from Nintendo. Especially with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It is by far the biggest gaming crossover event ever. Like, the sheer number of games and different characters that are in it is pretty incredible. So you've got a lot of Nintendo properties. So you've got like the Mario series, Star Fox, Donkey Kong, Zelda, Metroid, and Kirby. Those are like that. Pokemon is a fair bit of representation. Fire Emblem. A lot of people say there's probably too many Fire Emblem characters, perhaps. But yeah, it's a good variety of characters from Fire Emblem. But they've also moved a lot more into third parties at the moment. They've been striking deals with third-party companies and getting characters from other companies in. So, started back in Brawl, I think, where they had Sonic and Snake join the roster. Snake disappeared from the following games and then came back for Ultimate. But Sonic's been pretty much a mainstay since. As I did mention in my last episode, that I think Nintendo did beat Sony to the punch in getting those kind of third-party characters in. Yeah, it was a pretty good way to start, and they've just grown more and more of third-party characters. So you've got the likes of Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter, Simon Belmont and Richter Belmont from the Castlevania series, Bayonetta, Cloud, Sephiroth, Joker from Persona 5. The Persona 5 games haven't gone on Nintendo console yet. I think they had the spin-off on the 3DS, but core Persona 5 game hasn't come to Nintendo consoles, so they're drawing in characters that aren't on Nintendo systems, which is pretty cool. Just recently, I've had Pyro and Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 added. I've had Steve from Minecraft, Terry Beaumont from King of Fighters and SNK. So it's getting so diverse, so many different characters. I think as well as games, there's going to be a character for everyone, I think. The insane thing is so many characters control so differently, but it's still really balanced. So it's really interesting to see just how it all works. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. There's a lot of different modes. Yeah, it's a shame they haven't brought back Smash the Targets for Smash Bros. Ultimate. Because that was always a fun round where you had to try and defeat all the targets. And a lot of it was... I think the either Ryu or 3DS one had a bit where you had to be up a bomb and then hit a bomb at the targets to try and clear as many as you could. That's one mode I do wish had come back, but... Yeah, in terms of sheer number of characters, how they interact, the reveal trailers in themselves are just masterpieces and so good. And it does always generate a bit of hype, especially when they reveal a new character. As it stands, there's only two more new characters to be announced for the most recent game in the series. The Fighters Pass 2 is drawing to a close. Super Smash Bros. As a series is pretty incredible, pretty well known, and it hasn't really had a poor entry. They've all had pretty solid reviews and pretty solid gameplay. So, yeah, it's a series that definitely gets it right, and they do. And Sakurai spends so much time getting to know the characters, playing the games the characters are from, and looking at how they are in the games they come from and how they would behave or what moves I could do. There are a lot of times where, Sakurai said, he's had, he's literally sat with Nintendo and said whether a character would work or not, and how they'd work. And he has done some pretty incredible things with some other characters, like Steve is just like a character I really didn't want, but he's actually quite fun to play as, and he's got some really interesting and different moves in his moveset. So yeah, there's a lot of different things going on there. Definitely a series that's worth playing if you haven't played before. It's literally classic video game characters beating each other up and trying to knock each other off the arena. And it's a lot of fun. One of those things is quite easy to learn and get into, but there is a lot of depth in terms of the controls and nuances and different move sets. It's definitely a game worth playing. And because of the characters, I think it appeals to most people as well. So, yeah, I think it has just become really successful and really popular. And it is a game crossover that has worked really well. So, definitely worth checking out. The second game on my list is a game that I really love, but I know is quite controversial. I know a lot of people, especially when it first came out, the reviews were quite mixed on it. It's like a game I do really enjoy, and it's always like a guilty pleasure for me, because it's a game that not a lot of people like overly much, but I do really enjoy it. And that is Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. I know the original Sonic and All-Stars Racing was a bit patchy, and I admit that, but this sequel, I really love it, I really enjoy it. It is a host of Sonic characters and a load of classic Sega characters. So you got like characters from Super Monkey Ball, Jet Set Radio, Alex Kidd, Eli Laugh and Space Shuttle 5, wide range of different characters, which is really cool. It's just, I think what I really like, especially about Racing Transformed, is the fact that you have the different aspects of the race course. You had the three modes. You got a car, boat, and plane. Kind of a little bit like Mario Kart 7 and Mario Kart 8, where you could go underwater or you could soar or glide, but take it a bit further with the water sections. You're actually a boat and driving around the water parts that are on top of the water like a boat. And the planes, you're actually playing, flying. You've got full control over your height and your direction. So, yeah, I really kind of did that. And I just great how they did a lot of good tracks. Callbacks to really classic games, like Burning Rangers got a track in the most recent game. And we obviously got Knights. Callbacks stuff like Sonic and Knuckles, Sonic Heroes. Sam D. Amigo got a track. Yeah, so it's a really cool game. And the challenge mode was actually was really quite challenging. Well, some of the challenges were rock hard, but they had that one more go element to it, so I did that really well. I'm kind of gutted they didn't do a follow-up to this. They did Team Sonic Racing instead. Because I haven't really spent much time in Team Sonic Racing. I do have it, but I just haven't gone on it anywhere near as much as I should have. But I just kind of really wish I'd done the the Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed formula again. I just kind of evolved it. Load new tracks, some more characters, stuff like that. Yeah, for me, it's really underrated. And you like a kart racing game, it's got a bit of challenge. Definitely worth checking out in my book. So yeah, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is my second choice in this game crossover done well, because it's a good mix of characters, good mix of levels. I just love hearing the classic music remixed and brought up to date. It came out in 2012, so there's a lot of kind of almost dubstep influences and like a pulsing drum beat behind all the music. So it's like really high energy. I just love the fact that they include Skies of Arcadia as well, because that racetrack is, along with the Panzer Dragon one, is some of my favourite ones. So Panzer Dragon 1, it literally changes each lap. The first lap is mainly driving. Second lap, you do driving and there's a boat section. And then the final lap on Panzer Dragon is pretty much all flying, because the track breaks apart and gets destroyed by a dragon as you're racing around it. Skies of Arcadia as well. Yeah, you're on an island that's under attack and it's being blown apart by these sky pirates. And so first couple of laps, I think, is pretty much standard. And then the final one, like, the island breaks apart. There's a lot of flying and flying between different parts of the debris, really. And it's, yeah, some really inventive courses. And for me, it works really well, but I know a lot of people do find it a little bit hit and miss, and a little bit kind of, it's a little bit, it wasn't to everyone's taste, but definitely one that I really enjoy playing. So hopefully you'd enjoy it too, as well, if you give it a go. Next game I'm going to talk about is a handheld game. And it is Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. It is two iconic characters from the handheld world. Both had games on the DS and 3DS, which did pretty well. This is great because it put you in the middle of a storyline where you had a woman on trial for something, and through solving mysteries as Professor Layton and puzzles, and through courtroom scenes and cross-examining people Phoenix Wright, you actually found out the story, what happened, and that you had, as Layton, you had to try and, I think you're trying to prove that the woman was innocent. I think Phoenix Wright was for the prosecution, I think, so. Like I said, I've not played the game, unfortunately, but it is a game that I always see come up as amazing. And gameplay videos I have seen looks incredible, and just the overall reception to the game just works so well. So yeah, so Phoenix Wright and fascinating in the game. In theory, sounds a bit bizarre, but worked really well. The courtroom scenes were quite intense and interesting. And yeah, it's just like quite an in-depth story and trying to get through the twists and turns, okay. Yeah, so next game I am going to bring up is a little series called Kingdom Hearts. I think if you're doing crossovers, you can't not mention Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, it's a behemoth of a series. Keeps on growing and growing. A few years ago, you had the third entry in the series, Kingdom Hearts 3. But you've had numerous spin-offs as well. And even from just a Disney perspective, it's a massive crossover. But yeah, I've got characters from Final Fantasy come into there as well. So yeah, characters from Final Fantasy X, I believe Cloud and Sephiroth may have shown up. And then you've got like the Square characters like Sora and Riku and stuff like that. And then you add in the Disney lot. So you got Mickey, Donald and Goofy. And then you got so many different Disney film worlds. You've got like Nightmare Before Christmas, Pirates of the Caribbean, you've got Winnie the Pooh, you've got Tron, you've got Tangled, you've got Hercules, Toy Story. It's such an array of different characters and game worlds, and it's really cool to play through, like original story set in each, and definitely worth checking out. I know the story can be quite convoluted and hard to follow. As I must admit, there are bits in Kingdom Hearts 3 where I was watching, it's like, I don't know what's going on or how this ties into anything else that's already happened, but I say it was a game that I enjoy playing, and it's just how they've recreated all the different film worlds and like the Disney worlds and things, stuff like that. So yeah, another one that's definitely worth checking out. Most of the games are on Game Pass as well, so if you've got Game Pass, you can do the remix versions of 1 and 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3, so all there for your playing pleasure. Next up is not a whole game, it's more of an event in a game, and this is from Final Fantasy XV. Final Fantasy XV, Square teamed up with Ubisoft and held the Assassin's Festival. So basically, one of the cities in Final Fantasy XV, they held an Assassin's Festival, which is themed around Assassin's Creed. A lot of people loved it. Like, it was really well themed. Really good atmosphere to it. And they had some side quests they added in, which focused on, like, stuff from Assassin's Creed, like, be it free-running or stealth stuff, or there's a couple of missions that involve Tay, which obviously used to hide in a lot in Assassin's Creed. So yeah, the Assassin's Festival went down really well. It's nice to see Assassin's Creed team up something else, and it worked pretty well. It was a good mix, good match. Next one I'm going to talk about is going back to the GameCube era. Again, it's not a whole game, it's more like a crossover in a game. It's Soul Calibur 2 on the GameCube. This crossover was the reason why the GameCube version was the best-selling version of Soul Calibur 2. And it is because they added Link from the Legend of Zelda series into it. This is the first game where they tried adding different characters for different versions of the game. And the addition of Link, like I said, worked really well. He had a really great moveset. They incorporated a lot of his abilities. They had like the bombs, arrows, all sorts. And it looked really good. It worked really well. And he's a natural fit for the game. So I wish that Soul Calibur would come back to Nintendo console and they could add Link in again. It'd be interesting to see where they take him in the more modern games. but definitely be cool to see. Yeah, one I'm looking forward to. And the last one I'm going to mention is quite a new crossover series. It is now a series. There is two games being released in this now. And it's back into the puzzle realm. Kind of been in the puzzle realm with Professor Layton and Felix Wright. But it's Puyo Puyo Tetris. I was introduced to this on Nintendo Switch. Played the demo when it came out. The game came out about a month or two after the Switch launched, like the first one, and it's pretty great. It's a fusion of Puyo Puyo or Tetris. You can just play either game, like Puyo Puyo or Tetris, or you can play like fusion modes where it switches between the two, or there's one where you get a mixture of Puyo Puyo or Tetris bits fall at the same time, and you have to kind of try and fit them all together. Really quirky, really crazy. If you've seen my gameplay video of Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, which I did towards the end of last year, you'll see that the story mode is absolutely bonkers. It's pretty crazy. But it's also a lot of fun. I do enjoy the Puyo Puyo Tetris game. It's cool. It's quite a good puzzle game if you want something that's not too taxing to sit back and relax a bit with. It's definitely worth giving that a go. And not super expensive either as well. They do tend to be on sale a bit, or not full price games. So definitely worth picking up in my eyes. And yeah, just like I say, I like my puzzle games. So I do really quite enjoy Puyo Puyo Tetris and Puyo Puyo Tetris 2. That kind of rounds up my pick of game crossover games done well. I know there's probably lots more that have been done and probably are really good, but they're ones I want to talk about, the ones that stick out to me. Even though I haven't played Professor Layton versus Felix Wright, it's just the reputation that game's got. A lot of people don't like, or I think it's a shame that it's only one game. It'd be interesting to see if they would consider doing further episodes of that, or further games of that. It'd be really cool. But yeah, as always, let me know on Twitter if you've got any thoughts on games that you thought I should have mentioned, or game crossovers that you think should have made a list. I think the one I could have mentioned is probably Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. I know a lot of people have got mixed thoughts on that. But as a concept, I think it's great. It's just like great party game, great amount of fun. So that's probably like an honourable mention, I think. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. They do normally try something different. The 2020 Olympic Games, it came out at the end of 2019. They added retro events. They're really cool. It was like old school kind of track and field style events. That is definitely another series worth checking out. And I would say the 2020 Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympics 2020 is worth playing, worth checking out. I know there was a demo available for it. I don't know if there still is. Obviously, it's been out quite a while now. There are some really good games. Like the archery mode is great. Especially once you get the knack of the archery, it is a lot of fun. That's my kind of honourable mention, I think. Great series. Got obviously the Winter Olympic Games as well. Definitely worth checking out, I think. So that kind of wraps up my subject for today. So I'm going to talk about what I've been up to the last couple of weeks. Been playing a fair amount more of Mario 35. Just wanted to get the most of it because it is going away next Wednesday at the time of recording. So obviously 31st of March is when the Mario 35 stuff comes to an end. I will be, he will be a bit of a shame to see those going. So I will look at, getting a bit more time in before they get taken down on Wednesday. Also, the 3D All-Stars collection is coming off the e-store, and once physical copies are sold, that's it, they're gone. Mario 35 has been taking up a lot of my time. Animal Crossing, like I said, I am downloading Octopath Traveler as we speak, so I've been giving that a go and hopefully record some gameplay of that over the weekend. A lot of good stuff going on, but also not me being able to play as much as I'd wanted to. It's a bit of a shame. Don't forget to check out Matt and Alex next weekend, because they should be back. I know they took a bit of a unexpected hiatus last week. But I've been sure they will have a shout out next week. Listen out for their wildness and craziness alongside their Dungeons and Junkies podcast, which is Dungeons and Dragons with an awesome group of people. And I actually got invited on this week to have my first attempt at DMing and being the Dungeon Master. So I think at some point that will be coming out on the network. So keep an ear out for that, and you can hear me bumble through my my one-shot campaign. But I think it's probably long enough to be two episodes. So quite excited for you guys to hear that. Does something a little bit different with the game world, I think. As always, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisTheorist37. My YouTube is ChrisReactor. I do share all of my videos on my Twitter page, so easiest place to find my YouTube is to go through my Twitter. And just please do like, comment, subscribe to my YouTube channel if you can. I'm up to almost 120 subscribers now, which is really cool. Really appreciated. As always, I'd like to see some more people do it and get subscribed and hit that little notification bell. And hopefully I can get some more followers and some more videos for you guys. Thank you for listening if you still are. And until next time, speak to you soon. Bye.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.